Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, blood, sweat, and data. By Premium Plus Sports, official travel agency of Babbittville.com. By USA-swimrun.com. If you haven't tried a swim run event, grab a buddy and give one a try. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation. This year we sent out 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, one of the most consistent triathletes on the planet, comes from the background of steeplechase at Syracuse. And in the last 4 years on WTS circuit, she was ranked fifth in 2015, fourth in 2016, third in 2017, and second in 2018. Plus, she's a 2016 Olympian. Katie Safaris joins us. Katie, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Bob?
Really well. So, I mean, for people to get a sense of how much travel you guys do, because there's very, I'm not even sure if there were any WTS events in the U.S. this year. How many days of the year are you out of the country?
This year, we came back to the country, but we never made it home. We left our house January 31st, and we didn't get back till November, 11th or something like that. So
How hard is that? Like, basically living out a suitcase all year long?
Yeah, I think this year was a little more challenging just because there were no even, short parts of coming home. But because I have Tommy, my husband, who travels with me and is there with me for the whole thing, it doesn't feel so bad. But one of my favorite parts of this year was coming home.
I bet. Wow. And especially the racing this year was really phenomenal. Like, that watching the grand final. And, you and Ashley Gentle and Vicky Holland, it's just like the racing was tenacious. You guys were back and forth. And do you enjoy that? Just the fact that it's really down and gritty and you guys are just going for it all the time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's really cool because, there's just so many different types of competitors that I've gone against over the last few years between Gwen and Flora and Vicky and Ash and so many other people and all the Americans. And it just makes you makes me really work hard to try and just have zero weaknesses in being a triathlete and see how strong I can be all around, because that's really the only way to win.
Well, and what's fascinating is when you get into something like the Olympics, and that race is such a crapshoot because you never really know who's going to be doing what on that day. But this year, you seem like some races, okay, I'm going to go off the front of the bike. It seemed like you varied your strategy from race to race. Do you do that so that, hey, I don't want to be predictable? I want to make sure that people don't really know what I'm going to do on race day.
Yeah, I think I do it a lot just because I'm trying out different strategies and trying to figure out what the best way is for me to race. And I also really want to be adaptable. So in whatever situation plays out for the Tokyo test event to qualify and hopefully in the Tokyo race itself, if I make it, that I'll just be able to, no matter what happens in the race, I can feel confident in myself and my abilities.
What's really interesting, you think about it, 2012, you're coming out of Syracuse as a steeplechaser, and 6 years later, you've already been to an Olympics in a totally different sport, right? Swim, bike, run, and you're ranked second in the world in that sport. Do you sometimes, when you look back, do you go, I can't believe this journey. It's been pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, amazing is definitely the word to describe it. I think I'm very fortunate in a lot of ways with the timing of when I was graduating and when USA Triathlon collegiate program was evolving. And I've just had, and getting in with Joel Filial as a coach, I just had a lot of good timing on my side, and that with a lot of great people to guide me to really just take off in the sport.
So looking at the races this year, where, you know, you were on the podium for what, 6 out of 8 races, something like that? I mean, you were pretty amazing. Third at Bermuda, second Yokohama, third at Leeds, third at Hamburg, second Montreal, third in the grand final. Being consistent, is that important to you, or is it more important, like, hey, I want to win a couple of these?
I definitely want to win, but I really pride myself in my consistency, and I would like to consistently win. That would be nice.
That would be, put those, yes, consistently win. I like that.
But I'm still, like, working on figuring that out, and obviously the goal is to win, but I don't want to win at the cost of taking away from being consistent as well, because I think that's also important. So I just want to have the longevity to make it through 2020 and in good standings.
Well, when you look back at your racing over these last few years, is there one race that was your favorite? One race where you felt like, okay, this is the way I want to feel every time I go to the line?
Maybe Hamburg, but that's because I won that one.
Right, yeah. But the crowds are huge there, too, and that there's such a great atmosphere there.
Yeah, the atmosphere is amazing. Also, like, I had some family, some of my aunts and uncles were there to, like, be there for that part. So it was really special. And then, yeah, just it's one of the biggest and best atmospheres for on the ITU circuit for sure. So it was a pretty cool one.
So outside of the ITU circuit, this year you did really, really well. Super League, right? And that's a concept Chris McCormick came up with. Talk a little bit about the Super League experience and what you liked about that.
Yeah, Super League really neat because it's just, I mean, the racing style itself is really unpredictable, which I think is very neat. I think when you look at it, you look and you're like, oh, it's sprint races, so it's you have to be fast and you have to be dynamic and all that and give it everything you've got. But it's also multiple races, one back to back, and then there's another day after that. So you actually have to also be really good at just backing yourself up and the endurance component. So I really like that it takes both of those things, and you really can't hide anywhere in it. And also it just makes it a lot, to me, I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know what you're expecting, and the whole atmosphere for the athletes, we're getting more involved with each location that we go, whether it's going to schools or talking to different companies or just seeing the area and almost getting to be like tourists a little bit, which is just nice to kind of be immersed in that. I don't always get that on like the circuit quite as much.
Right. And I love when an event has the Eliminator and the Equalizer and all those cool brands. That's really fun. And do you find, is there good racing atmosphere? I know a lot of WTS races might not necessarily have big crowds. Are there big crowds at the Super League races?
I think it's still growing, so it's pretty dependent. But yeah, like Malta, there's a pretty big hill that we were finishing up at the end of Malta, and there were just people lined along the whole thing. And they're like so supportive, and Jersey, like the whole island of Jersey just really backs the race. So, it's amazing, like, walking around there, you kind of feel like a celebrity because they're like, oh, are you here for the triathlon? And, like, it's cool that they know what we're there for and they're supporting it and excited that we're there because it just makes it a lot more fun that way.
How many times did you race with the Super League? Because you race a ton with the Super League and with WTS. How many total races this year?
I think it was probably, like, 12?
12 races. And then within those races, when you're doing Super League, you might do 2 or 3 races over a couple of days.
Right. So yeah. It's at least, yeah. It's usually 2 days of, well, two to three days of racing.
Yeah. So that recovering from all of that, what's your routine to recover when you're doing those type of races? Or just the fact that you're doing an ITU or WTS race and then you're going to do a Super League and the balance of all that and just trying to keep yourself healthy, because you've been very durable, right? You've been able to, when you're finishing fifth, fourth, third, and second in that WTS tour each year, over 4 years, you're obviously staying healthy.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to go easy. I definitely take my seriously, and I go hard as I can. But
right.
For my easy rides, they're cruising. I mean, even today, Tommy and I went on a ride. Yesterday, we did a group ride in Santa Cruz, and then today was just an easy ride, and I just told him to go on without me.
So, Katie, for the test event for our listeners. The Tokyo Olympics are 2020, and they usually have a event a year out from the Olympics, which is a first qualifier, begins the qualifying process. And what do you know about the Tokyo course?
So they've already announced it, and it's been shown. I know it's not going to be trainable beforehand. So what we're going to get from to like. Know about the course and everything is just going to be doing research on like Google Maps and things like that. It's pretty flat, but there's quite a bit of turns on both the bike and the run. It also is projected to be pretty hot.
Yes, right. So, they're talking about that.
Right. So I think most people are preparing for it to be warm, and of course it could completely be nothing like that, but I'd rather be overly prepared than underprepared. And so it's going to be fun. It's right in the city center, but whenever the Olympics is, it's supposedly like the closest one to the athlete village and things like that. So that's pretty neat.
Will it be fairly early in the games in terms of when they run the triathlon?
I believe so. Definitely earlier than Rio was.
Yeah.
I think it's in the first week or so.
How hard is that when the event is so late in the games, because then you really can't get there that early, and you sort of are off-site training while there's all this excitement for the games. I imagine you'd prefer it early in the games.
I think so. I mean, I've only done one to be able to compare.
Right.
But for Rio, I think one of the hardest parts was I was so focused on my race, and then once my race was over, I was kind of disappointed in my result, and then the Olympics was over, so I didn't go to any events, and we went to the closing ceremonies, which was one of my favorite parts and was really cool, but I'd like to just get a little bit more of that Olympic atmosphere if I get another shot.
For this next Olympics, we'll have a new event for triathlon, mixed relay, and you've had success doing the mixed relay. Is that something you enjoy?
I'm super excited for the mixed relay. I think that's one of the most entertaining and also very unpredictable events, and I'm so excited it's going to be in the Olympics. Like, just having the relay, and then also with it being, like, mixed genders, I just think makes it awesome. But it's so, you really have no idea who's going to come out on top until the very end, and I just really like it. I think it's one that actually, like, makes me very passionate and fills me with emotion, like, when I think about it. So I think it's definitely one for people to tune into.
So, and the other thing is the American women, what, you have three in the top 10 in the championship, in the finals. So you've got between yourself and Taylor Spivey and Kristen Casper and Summer Cook, there's some great competition. Just getting to the games is going to be tough.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the Americans are always super competitive, which is really nice, but also makes it really hard. But
yeah,
I mean, that's what you want, is to have the best team possible. And I think we really have a shot to put together, great women's team for sure.
And with the mixed relay, for folks out there who've never seen it, one, I think it's going to be amazing television. I think people are going to love it. Explain how it works, because it isn't your typical relay where one of you does a swim, one does a bike, one does a run. There's four people on the team, and each one does a sort of a mini triathlon, correct?
Right. So each one does a mini triathlon. There's two men and two women, and it goes female, male, in the order. And, you just tag off. You high-five, basically.
So, yeah.
each person does their triathlon, and then the next person goes and does their little triathlon, and then it comes down to the final male.
And
whoever crosses the finish wins.
Right, and you die when you get tagged. You run off the pontoon, right? You go and dive in and do just like you're starting the regular race.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, very cool.
Very cool. Have you seen any carnage out there when people are doing the mixed relay, where people are messing up and falling off the dock, or any chaos? Considering this is a brand new sport.
No, I think we've had the mixed team relay in Hamburg, and I haven't noticed anything. Although, I have to say, like when I'm racing, I'm not really paying attention. Other people quite as much, but it's definitely interesting because it's like the other races, you can't have a weakness, and the dynamics of the race really, I think it's going to have to take swim bike runners and being strong in like all of it. And then having the transition so you don't miss the pack and everything, so you really can't give a second when those races are so short.
So Sarah True moved from, she did two Olympics and then moved immediately into 70.3 and quickly from there into Ironman, and was second at Ironman Frankfurt, and was first American and fourth overall in World Championships. Do you look at that and go, is that something I'm interested in for after 2020?
It is. I'm still deciding what I want to do after 2020. I used to say right after 2020, Tommy and I wanted to start a family.
Yeah.
Now that seems so close. It seems far, far, far away.
Well, how old are you, Katie?
I'll be 31 after 2020, so I'm 29 now.
Plenty. Come on now. Plenty of time.
Yeah, so we'll see. I like to have adaptable plans, so who knows what I'll be doing, but I definitely think definitely the half Ironman is something that I can foresee in my future. The Ironman.
Yeah, that's a long way.
I think I'd have to do a half first.
Oh, yeah. No. You don't want to
work my way up.
No, yeah.
Because it doesn't look enticing.
No. I remember bringing McKeely Jones would be like, I'll never do this. And I said, well, come over and see it. She came over and watched it. And I think it was Mark Allen won the race, and we're standing by the medical tent, and they're carrying him off on a stretcher, and he's got an IV, and his feet are all bloody, and she just looked at me and goes, never. And then, the number of years later, she ends up winning the thing. But it is, it's 70.3 is way better, way better.
Yeah, because people were telling me, we've watched Kona 2 years, and people are like, oh, watch out, you'll catch the Ironman bug. And I was like, I don't think that's what I'm catching right now.
Yeah, no, you're out there and you're going, I'm sweating walking around.
Yeah, I'm like, just spectating is hard.
It is. Getting around and spectating, you're like, you're schwitzing and you're going, oh my God, these guys are trying to run for the women, they're trying to run a sub-3-hour marathon, a 250 marathon in this sauna. It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing ever. Okay,
yeah, so, I've never done a marathon. I've never ridden that long on a bike. So I'm a little behind.
Well, that's what Sarah True would say. While she's riding, she's going, oh my God, I'd be done by now if I was doing a WTS race, and I'm like a quarter of the way there. This is ridiculous. I can't believe I'm out here. So when you look back on your career, what besides Hamburg as the, as you won there, but is there a race besides that one where you felt, now I feel like I can compete with the best in the world? Before that, I'm not quite sure. This is great. This is fun. But now I'm serious. Now I think I can really be good at this.
You know, I think on the Gold Coast, the grand final this last year, I kind of felt that way because I raced in a different way than what I normally race. I would say most races I kind of like catch up from behind and I don't take too much control.
Right.
And in Gold Coast, I took control on the run and tried to play tactics a bit, and it didn't work out as I would have hoped to, but it was really empowering to
absolutely
try that. And so that was one that I was just I was disappointed, but I was also really proud of myself for it because I knew I couldn't have done anything differently.
Yeah. Well, and that's the deal. And you, it was between you and Vicky Holland. You were leading going in, and whoever wins or whoever finishes in front of the other person is going to win the series. So yeah, you're racing against somebody who you have to beat, and it makes perfect sense to go off the front on the run because you never know. Maybe she goes, you know what, second's not bad today. You never know when somebody cracks. And in that particular case, she didn't. But
yeah. I was gonna say the other person, I cracked.
Yeah, you cracked, but you don't know that until you do it. And that's, I remember talking to Alistair Brownlee years ago, and he was saying, you know, we were talking about how guys would stay with him on the bike, even though they knew that they couldn't run with the guy, right? So the only hope they had was to go off in front of him, but they never would because they were sort of scared of the moment. You can't be scared of that moment, especially when you're talking the Olympics or Olympic trials. You've got to know that I've been in this position before and I can handle it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was an empowering move.
So did you and Joel discuss that for a while before putting that into action, or was that sort of impulsive on your part?
No, Joel and I, we had practiced it and done some workouts where we just played with pace changes and things like that, that I think was really good for me because I'm a person who does better off of just feeling really prepared for race-specific scenarios. So it's something that we started doing before Gold Coast and something that I'd like to keep working on and continuing.
What have been some of your favorite places? Because you've obviously traveled everywhere. What have been some of your favorite places to go to that you go, okay, this was great racing here and I'd like to come back sometime when I'm not racing?
Oh, for racing? I'd like to come back in different ways.
So places that you'd like to, places you've raced, but places you'd like to come back and tour. Some places are like, God, this place is beautiful. I wish I had more time to spend here.
Bermuda would be nice to tour.
Yeah.
to do outside of racing, I think.
Yes, I think that's a good call. Yeah.
Yeah, but I love Gold Coast and I like Australia and New Zealand. I've raced there too. And both of them, I just really enjoy and feel like there's a lot more to explore. Also, South Africa, I haven't raced in Cape Town in a couple of years, but that was also one of my favorites, where I did get to tour around a bit when I was there, but I really want to do like the safari and do Table Mountain and things like that. I mean, it's nice because we've actually stayed there for like both there and Australia. We've actually spent quite a bit of time in, but they're big places.
So when you're traveling and racing with the same people over and over again, and you've got to race the same people over and over again, and your livelihood depends on beating those same people, how hard is it to be, you know, friends with the people that you have to race?
Yeah, it's not very hard. It's almost more comforting being friends with them. And as soon as the race starts, like as soon as the gun goes off, like there's no like, not much camaraderie against who's going to take the win or things like that. Like everyone's going for it, but it's really calming to be on the start line with all people you feel comfortable being there with. I remember that's something that's kind of changed over the past few years for me. Cause when I first started, I was like, I don't belong here. I don't know anyone here. Like, and I was just intimidated by them, which isn't like a great feeling. And then when you realize they're all just normal people and they're not so scary, it just makes racing. It takes that element of anxiety out.
Yeah, it almost makes the facade disappear. You're able to go, hey, they're the same as I remember one athlete was telling me years ago, she would be running along and thinking, God, these people look so easy. I feel like crap. I can't believe it. They're doing what I'm doing, but they're making it look so easy. And her coach told her, if they're doing what you're doing, they're hurting just as bad. So don't be thinking that they're not hurting. They're hurting less than you are. They're suffering just as bad as you are if they're running as fast as you are.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always good to keep in mind that everyone's feeling pain.
Exactly. So what makes, it's not often that somebody comes into the sport and latches onto a coach, Joel Filio in your case, and is still with them. right? A lot of people change coaches over the years. What that relationship there between coach and athlete, what works for you guys?
I think Joel just, I mean, I like his whole outlook on what we're doing, and it's mainly about hard, consistent training. It's not really about doing anything super special. It's doing the same, almost the same things day in and day out, but also adapting it to like certain races. And one of the things that has really helped us is getting better with communication over the years. And I have a little more influence with my training, or I'll tell him things I want to incorporate, and then he kind of works with me or tells me no, one of the two. So I think just having that mutual respect, I really respect him, and I think he respects me. So it's just a really good relationship.
So you live in a, well, you don't live very often there, but you have a tiny house. And that happened a few years ago, and I can't imagine living in... How big is the house?
It's 372 square feet, including the loft.
372 square feet. Oh, my God.
Every foot counts.
Every foot does count. I mean, when you're was sleeping in a place, is there headroom when you're up there in the bed? It just seems like it'd be a little claustrophobic.
No, I can kneel and be, like... I can kneel and my head won't hit the top, but like, I have to like, if I'm putting my pants on, I have to lay down on the floor type thing.
And when both of you are in there, it's like you're just constantly running into each other?
Not really. We've got a pretty good system. Like one of us cooks, the other one does dishes. We also have this like nice little back room. Most people have like open places for a house the size of ours, but we actually have like a little hallway to like this little room in the back. So Tommy will be doing work upstairs and I'll just take a nap downstairs. So it's like, actually, I don't think it ever really feels small until other people come over.
Yeah. It's probably not the best for entertaining.
Well, it's not good for entertaining, but we have lived like Lindsay Jordanik, Chelsea Burns, my little sister. They have all come for like extended amounts of times.
Really?
With us.
And they still talk to you?
Yeah, closer than ever.
Yeah, they don't have much of an option because you're 2 feet away the whole time.
Yeah. The only terrible thing was this past, like, a couple weeks ago, my sister came, and it was me, Tommy, and her in the tiny house, and we all got food poisoning.
Oh, no.
That was bad.
Oh, my God. So there's a line at the bathroom the whole time.
Well, that, and it's also a composting toilet, so.
Oh.
It'd be nicer. The whole time I was getting sick, I was just thinking, oh, I'm going to have to clean this all up.
So if somebody had told you right before you leave in Syracuse, hey, you know what, you're going to leave school and go be a professional triathlete, make the Olympics, and, you know, travel the world, what would you have said?
No, I'm going to be a teacher.
Is that what you're training to be a teacher?
Yeah, that's what I graduated with, and I was applying for grad school. I would have never thought I'd be a professional athlete.
So you were applying for grad school. Was it Barb Lindquist who reached out to you?
Yep, it was.
And what was her sales pitch?
She just gave me an option. She said, would you want to try this? And I came out to, like, their short camp, and I thought, okay, like, that was fun.
Right.
And then... a few months later, they had decided that they were going to do a resident program at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. So she reached out to me for that, and I figure who would turn that down? I didn't.
Yeah.
So I went with the opportunity, and my dad drove me out from Maryland to Colorado Springs, which is like a 24-hour drive, and we were about an hour away. I started crying and telling him I didn't want to do it anymore.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and he told me if I didn't like it in a week that he would come back out and get me and we'd drive back together. But I was fine.
So he drove, did he drive, drop you off and then drive all the way home?
No, he dropped me off and then he flew home.
Okay.
So we drove my car out.
I gotcha. Yeah. But he would come back out and get you if it didn't work.
He'd fly back out and we'd drive back home. Together.
Wow. And how
long? My car never made it back to the East Coast. Still, well.
So when you got there, and when did you start feeling like, okay, I think this was the right move?
I think just being with all the other athletes who were doing the same transition, and having people like Barb to talk to, and it's pretty cool. So it didn't take me long to warm up to it, but like definitely having the other athletes, the other CRP athletes that with me at that time. Was the best.
So are any of those athletes still part of the program?
Well, none of us are still part of the program.
I mean, not part of the program, but are
but still going. Chelsea Burns is still going.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. And how many were there to begin with you guys, with your little group?
There are about six.
Six athletes. So two out of the six are still kicking it.
Yeah, and Summer came, like, Summer was in my group, like, right towards the end, just a little later, so,
Three, there you go. I like that.
Yeah,
that program has been, I think about Gwen Jorgensen and Summer Cook and yourself. I mean, everybody came out of that program and had major success on the world stage.
It's been really cool.
Have you followed Gwen as a marathoner?
A little bit, not as much as I guess you would think.
Yeah. Well, you're a little busy.
But no, it's cool watching her chase another dream.
Very cool. Hey, Katie, thank you so much for taking time. And now, what's Tommy been up to? Is he your sort of Sherpa and photographer and pretty much everything?
Well, I wouldn't say Sherpa, but he definitely works out with me and makes me try harder.
He pushes you, huh?
Yeah, he's training and also working for, he still works for ROCA and the International Triathlon Union. So still taking lots of pictures.
Great pictures. He's really gotten good. He's really getting some good stuff. Awesome. Well, give him our best. And as always, congratulations on another amazing season. And so, well, next year, will you be able to do Super League with the, sort of the Olympic preview happening?
I think so. I'm doing Singapore, so in February, late February, and then none of the dates have been announced yet for the 2019 season. So I hope so, though. I hope it works out. I really like it, and I think it just makes me better and more well-rounded. So I think it's really good.
Well, it's speed, right? You're doing more speed because there really aren't many long races. Those races are fairly short.
Yeah, correct, and they're all about the details. So
they are about the details, and I love that. Katie, thanks so much for taking time. Congratulations on a phenomenal season, ranked second in the world. That's got to be pretty cool to know that you're ranked second in the world.
It is pretty cool, and thanks for having me.
All right, Katie Zafaris has been our guest again. We're brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series by VeloFix.com, Polar Blood, Sweat, and Data, Premium Plus Sports, our official travel agency, USA-Swimrun.com, Challenge Athletes Foundation. Our first 25 years, we've raised $100 million. Keep challenge athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville. And as always, endurance lives here.